in Luke 15 today. If you want to turn there in the Bibles in front of you, that is page 894. If you do not have a contemporary version of the Bible, or maybe you want one to carry with you, you want one at work, whatever the case may be, but feel free to take one of these home with you. They're yours to keep. Maybe give them to a friend that needs to know Christ, whatever the case may be. So we're going to be talking about some parables, and I'm pretty excited to talk about these two. I feel like kind of the last few times I've talked, I got some really heavy ones where Jesus was like really warning us of hell, which is awesome. I mean, I have no problem sharing that message because it's an important one to have. I think sometimes fear is a good motivator, but I don't want it to be the motivator. I think his love way out trumps the fear of anything, because his love is amazing. So now we get into some parables where we see how much we mean to Christ, how much God desires us and wants us, and will go to any length to find us. So let's dig into this parable real quick. We're going to start right in the beginning of 15. We're going to go 1 through 10. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. How dare him? So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep." In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call on her friends and neighbors and say, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost coin." In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels, even when even one sinner repents. What an awesome picture of what we mean to God and the lengths he's going to go to call us home to himself. Theologians kind of agree. We're going to kind of start with the sheep. We'll move on to the coin and wrap it up. It's kind of my plan for the morning to bring you along in the process. Theologians kind of agree in that first one. In talking about the sheep kind of talk about two different group of, kind of represent two different group of people. One, it's those that don't yet know Christ. Now, here's the important thing to know. God created us all. You know, he tells us he knew us before we were even in the womb of our mother. So we belong to him regardless. So it represents those that have yet to come to know Christ. But it also represents those of us that came to know him. We've come into the flock. We've been pulled into that fold. But for whatever reasons, have kind of moved away. That we kind of just wandered off and away. And here's something you need to know about sheep. They are, by nature, herd animals. For a sheep to go off on its own like that means there is something wrong with that sheep. They are sick in some fashion. Something is wrong. You know what? And I see that true in my life. Quite honestly, it is easy for me, especially in the terms of a congregational relationship in a community, for me to drift away. I'm an introvert. I fight very hard against it, but I lose that battle oftentimes. And as an introvert, it's easy for me just to go off on my own. And here's the funny thing with that. If you go off on your own with a group of believers, it's not far until you're going to find yourself farther away from God. God lives in community. So when this happens with me, and it happens, at first it's usually something kind of small. You know, I'm just kind of, maybe I'm going through a little depressed mode, and I just want a little downtime to rejuvenate. But I become comfortable in that alone time. And it becomes easier to be alone, and therefore I move just a little farther away. and a little less emails, a little few phone calls, not as many people coming over for dinner. Until I find myself at some point isolated. And I look back and I'm like, how did this happen? How did I become isolated? It's a little scary sometimes to be in that place. But here's the beauty of this first parable. Jesus comes looking for me. And I'm going to tell you, emotionally and spiritually, I have lost count on how many times he has gently lifted me up on his shoulders and carried me back to where I belong, into the community. And it's beautiful. And there's celebration. Like, in my own heart, there is just celebration, but also in those that I commune with. Like, they're like, where were you, Mickey? We've missed you. And it's kind of cool. And I know God is celebrating. There's this awesome picture of celebration going on here of when one returns home from being lost like that. And the picture is that all of heaven is rejoicing. And it's so cool. I don't know if anyone else, if when you worship, you don't feel alone in worship. And not just that the people around you are singing to God, but there are literally choruses of angels with us singing praises to God. And when we return home, I feel that. And it's all because I returned. But here's the GPS you have. You can never, it's kind of number one. We got two GPSs today because I want to give you more than usual. GPS, you can never be so far from God that he will not celebrate your return. I don't care what you've done in your life, how hurt you are, how bad you think you have hurt God. He wants you home. I don't know what's happened in your life. I don't know what pains you have put onto others, and we all have. I don't know what pains have been caused to you. God wants, he is searching for you right now to come find you, to pick you up, and bring you home. And I don't know if that's for the first time ever, and maybe this is the first time like God is speaking to you, like, oh my gosh, like, is he speaking to me? Did he know something about my life? I know nothing of most of your individual stories, but God does. And if you feel like, oh my gosh, he's talking to me, God is talking to you. He wants you to come home. He loves you. You are a prized possession. And these worship sets we do, and like baptize, like that is that is a celebration. Like, there are angels hooping it up. I want you to imagine something, and it's going to take a big imagination in Cleveland. I want you to imagine the Browns won the Super Bowl. Big imagination, I know. That doesn't hold a candle. And think of how crazy this town would go nuts, wouldn't it? We would be absolutely crazy if that happened. It wouldn't hold a candle to the celebration that happens when one of us returns to God. That is awesome. And I think actually, as a body, we sometimes miss it. Like, sometimes, you know, Jeremy calls out, hey, do you believe in? We're like, yeah. It's like, no way. Come on. There is angels hooping it up there. And we are to join in that celebration. Like, we should get loud. If I'm going to get that loud, like when the Browns even score a touchdown, for goodness sakes, my soul at least is going to get loud when I think of the impact Christ has on us. And quite honestly, if my soul rejoices that much, I sure as hope it overflows out of my vocal cords. And if you guys think I'm a freak because I'm yelling, or because, heaven forbid, this discombobled person decides to start dancing, you can think me a fool if you want. I really don't care, because my soul is so freaking happy. And it's a beautiful picture. But I want to switch over to the bride now, and the lost coin. Now, again, most theologians kind of agree that there is a very, very strong possibility that in this parable, they're speaking of a bride's headdress. Jewish culture stated that the bride had to have these 12 silver coins in part of her wedding headdress, similar to the point of a wedding ring. She could not get married without it. So kind of putting it in that perspective gets us to understand, you know, obviously there is some monetary value, roughly a day's wage, I believe, to the silver coin. But there is also this huge sentimental value going on. And here's something you also need to know that draws the bigger picture of what God's doing in this parable. This was one of the few possessions that belonged to the bride as long as she lived. Usually, you know, we get married, and especially in Jewish culture, it was real male-dominated culture. This was something that was hers. No matter what happened in her life, even if she owed money, they could not demand her to give these silver coins. It belonged to her. It was her one possession, or one of a few at least, that could not be taken away. So kind of if you can practice a little bit of empathy and role-playing, put yourself in the picture of this being this bride that lost one of the coins. Think of yourself on your wedding day. You know, those that have gotten married and you're getting dressed, you have your tuxedo on, you have your dress on, you're ready to go to the chapel and you're going to get married and you're excited and you go to get the wedding ring you're going to give to your spouse and you cannot find it. How frantic will you be? You might as well not show up if you do not have it. Especially guys, if you show up without that ring, you are in deep doo-doo. Luckily, I do not know this by experience, but can only imagine what would happen. So as we understand these concepts in the parable, we get a feeling of, okay, this coin, it's not just a matter of something small. This is huge. So he's talking about me. He's saying when I am lost, I am the coin that is lost. He is saying I am that prized of a possession. I'm going to be honest with you, I don't feel like a prized possession at all. I don't have the best self-esteem in the world, and that's okay, I guess, but I'm just like, God wants me. Personally, if I lost me, I'd be like, good riddance, I wanted to get the other model instead. I was thinking of returning him. Like, you know how you kind of bust things sometimes on purpose just so you can get a new one? Oh, come on, I'm not the only one that does that. It's really wrong of us, but we've all done it at least once. I feel like that way about myself, but that's not the way God views me at all. He doesn't. And here's something else that's weird in this. I don't know about you guys, but before I knew Christ, if someone would have told me I was lost, I'd have been like, I'm in Cleveland. I grew up here. I know exactly where I am. I've always thought like calling someone lost is rude. And I think it's because of the context we often fit in. It's just weird. It's like, I never felt lost. I knew where I was. I knew what I wanted. But I think we have the wrong conception of lost going on here. I have a friend. His name is Glenn Anderson. And if ever he listens, dude, love you too. Many here have probably heard me talk about him. Just a great guy. When I was youth pastor at a place in Parma, he was also a youth pastor at another church in Parma, and we used to get together. We were very into the full body of Christ. So we'd pull youth groups together, we'd do stuff together. 24/7 prayer nights we'd do all the time. We are such a huge part of each other's spiritual growth and really experiencing God. I've lost touch with the guy, and he lives like just down the street. Now, I can see what he's doing on Facebook, and I get emails now and again. But our relationship is broken. His heart is lost from me at the moment. And I think that's what the word lost means, is when I'm not connected with Glenn, our relationship is lost. And this is an area that I need to improve in my life, and maintaining these relationships that God put into my life. But the same is true with God. That when I have moved away from him, when I only watch his Twitter status, like open up the Word once in a while, or just come listen to Sunday morning, that'd be kind of like just following God on Twitter, if you will. If that's all I'm doing, dude, there's a good possibility I'm lost from his heart. Like I can't fully know what his desire is for my life. I don't know how he's going to speak into me. Just like a friend. I mean, think of that friend that you haven't seen in a while. And while you might know what's going on with them, you might not. You might be so far away, far removed from that relationship, you have no clue. No clue. They could have moved away, got married, had 5 kids, divorced, and remarried again. You just don't know. Or it might just be enough that you know, hey, they're doing okay. But you're so far removed from being in their life. You're really lost in that relationship. That happens with God, and that's what these parables, that's part of what these parables are talking about. And so this is the term of lost that I'm looking for. And here's one of the like big epiphanies is, you know, when you prepare messages, it's a weird thing. It's, if you think that I know all of the Bible and stuff, you're wrong. I don't. I learn with everyone else. So he teaches me as much through learn, probably more than as I study and prepare for messages. He shows me so much. But here's one of the coolest things that he showed me just actually about 48 hours ago as I was preparing this. And I'm not sure 48 hours is enough to fully digest this awesome truth. But God speaks of that his second coming, Christ will come again one day. Mark my words, one day again he will come back. And he's going to establish his kingdom and basically we're going to be all called together, and it's really when living eternity begins. And he tells us that this will happen when all his saints are called together, basically. Here's the cool picture I have with this parable and that happening. We are the lost coins of the headdress, correct? We talked about that. So in that, let's see if I can articulate this correctly as I'm still digesting through it. In that, we cannot wed with Christ, as that is one of the ways he describes our relationship with him. We are to be wed with him, and it's a great mental picture. So those of you that are married, your wedding, your marriage is to really be similar to your relationship with God, as in we're wed together. We are to be wed with him when all coins are collected. Just like this bride in here, you know, she's desperately searching for the coin because she cannot be wed until she finds it. We cannot be fully wed with Christ until all the coins are found. All that are lost, that have that broken relationship with Christ, are pulled back together and are put back in the headdress, and then there will be a wedding celebration of the church, which is us. Church is not an institution. Gateway is only a part of the church. We, his people, are his church, are wed with him. That is the celebration. You get to see a picture of why these angels celebrate, why all of heaven rejoices when a coin is found, because we're one step closer to the day when we all get this big homecoming, this huge wedding celebration of Christ being wed with us. And personally, I cannot wait till that day, because right now all my nastiness in my life get in the way of a perfect relationship with him, and one that I desperately want because I am in love with Christ. I love my wife, and I love my wife dearly, but not nearly as much as I love my Christ. I am passionate about him, and it angers me to have stuff in my life get in the way of that. And it angers me to see people in this world that could have everything they ever needed. And I'm not talking physically, because that means nothing in the scope of the eternal God I know. That they have these hurts in their lives and these things going on and broken relationships where God wants a relationship with them to help put the rest of that in perspective. That God wants them to pick them up to be a coin in the wedding headdress. It hurts me to see when that's not happening, when things are in the way. So here's kind of GPS number two, if you will. As followers of Christ, we share in the responsibility in searching for God's prized possessions. Man, pick up a broom, light the torch. We are not letting God just search by himself. He has called us to help out. And I have a few motivations in doing so. First of all, I love those that God loves. So I want to see you guys. Like, I love to see when someone comes to the realization of how awesome this God is. So part of it is that I want to see you experience that. I want to see just the euphoria that's in your eyes when you realize this God loves you and he is searching for you. But I also have a selfish motivation that the sooner everyone comes to Christ, the sooner heaven comes. And I am not going to miss this nasty earth at all. It's going to stink. The Browns will win every year, I promise. Not really. Maybe, I don't know. Who knows? So, man, I hope you're starting to see like the impact of these parables and how precious you are to Christ. But, man, Jesus kind of spawned off with these parables for a reason. And that was because there were these religious leaders that didn't like who Jesus was reaching out to. Unfortunately, we still see that nowadays. I am mega thankful to God to be in a community where I don't feel that happens, at least so much, I'm sure, to a level, because we're all human. But man, I don't know if any of you ever walked into a church and you just weren't what they wanted. Have you ever felt that? I have before. Like, you see, I'm not, like, in the church attire, so if I go to one that wants a shirt and tie, they're not going to be so excited by me. But there is that going on. So we have these type of religious leaders today, and quite honestly, Gateway, we need to guard ourselves about being that. You know, we're mainly a young professional church, and just because of, I think, geographically or where we are, and there's some purposefulness. But man, God's going to call anyone to himself. And so these religious leaders didn't like who Jesus was reaching out to. They were nasty people. They were undesirables is the word I'll use. And the Pharisees kind of thought this was their general concept of you had to clean yourself up before you could come to God. You know, obviously, God was first and foremost for the Jewish population. But those from outside, you know, those could come in, but they had to clean themselves up first. They first had to get washed up and purify themselves before coming to God. These parables are in drastic contrast to that. We see that God comes searching for us before we get cleaned up. And let's be honest, I know I am that way sometimes. That let me get some stuff straightened up in my life and then I'll dedicate myself to that. Or, I'm really too much of a mess. God doesn't want me. No. You need to know the Jesus I know. He went looking for, and if you read the Gospels, you know, get in a growth group and learn about these things, Jesus looked for those that the religious leaders wanted nothing to do with. I'm an undesirable. I feel I am. And I'm thank God Jesus came searching for me. You know, we all have stuff in our life that keeps us from God. However, none of it keeps God from us. He's desperate for us. He loves us. And not desperate in the way that he needs us. He's all perfect in all that he is. But desperate in the relationship-wise. You ever been so in love that you're just desperate for a relationship with that person? To be away from them hurts? I think God feels that way about us. So we see this thing, and I'm going to wrap up kind of with this picture, if you will, of the celebration happens when one repents. And repent's almost a scary word sometimes, and I want to put it in a good term to understand what that means. It's not just I'm sorry. Let's be honest. I'm sorry is cheap. I talked about my friend Glenn. I can say I'm sorry for not maintaining that relationship, but if all I do is say I'm sorry, but I never pick up the phone and get together with him, how sorry am I really? Repenting is turning away from the direction I was heading, going a different direction. Repenting is me picking up the phone, saying, Glenn, why don't we get together for lunch this week? Or why don't we meet together for dinner and pray together? Let's get caught up. Let's reconnect. That is repentance. Sorry is cheap. Words are cheap. We use words too freely. Follow it up with something, not just in the heart, but follows through the rest of our body. And that's what God wants to see happen. These things that got in the way of us being lost, those things that broke the relationship, turn away from those things. Reconnect with a living God. And again, this may be the first time. Maybe this is the first you've heard of God in this light. Maybe you've kind of known him as a legalistic God that has a set of rules. There's rules, of course, but they're for your good. It's like me telling Nate not to go play in the street. He thinks I'm being a super mean dad when I do that. I just don't want him to get hit by a car because I know it'll injure him. God has kind of those things for me. He has, so sure there's some of that, but it's because he loves you and adores you and desires to have a relationship with you. The pains in your life, the loneliness that you might feel, he wants to fill that gap. He wants you to turn away from the things you've been trying to put in his place. And if need be, he's going to pick you up on his shoulders and he's going to carry you home. And we all get to celebrate because it's a celebration for us all. I pray this morning you've got to know that God. That something in your heart is at least twitching, going, whoa, there's something in that. That's real. You know, my opening prayer was that, you know what? Our God is real. He's not made of wood. He's not made of stone. He didn't just die on a cross. He rose. He's alive. He wants to live in you. Don't care how nasty you are or how nasty you feel right now. He wants to live in you. So please join me in prayer. Let's invite God. Father God, if there's someone here right now that's heart is trembling as they realize there is an eternal God that loves them this much. Lord, that their heart is aching as a loved one aches for their lover, knowing that this God is calling to them. Lord, I pray that you speak to them, Lord, and you invite them into a relationship where they can repent, where they can turn away from the things that they've been searching after that kept them from you. May this be the first day of a new life. And Lord God, may they celebrate that new life. Lord, I celebrate this morning. I am in such a great mood because you are alive and you make me alive. But Lord, there's also us that maybe we've backslidden a lot. Maybe we've totally turned away from you and we are way far from where we need to be. Lord, I pray that you bring us back home. Lord, that we be looking for you on the horizon to come carry us. And Lord, there has been times I know I have been so injured, I needed you just to straight. I couldn't even walk with you. You had to carry me. And maybe there's some areas in each of our lives where we've turned away, where we're, you need to come hunt us down in those. And I don't say hunt as in a negative, but Lord, you're desperate to find us. May I be more desperate to be found. So Lord, we praise you, we honor you, we love you. We just give it all to you, Lord, and we ask that you're magnified during this time, because it all equals your glory. Even our salvation isn't about us, it's about your awesomeness. In Jesus' name. Well, before the band plays, let me make a final note. If maybe you've prayed that for the first time, that man, you want to turn away. Man, you heard something today from God that is totally ready to rock your world. And you're ready to have that relationship. And maybe you're started right now, or maybe you want to hear more about it. In that little connection card on your bulletin, man, mark that down. Myself or Alex, we'll get a hold of you. We want to walk with you in that process. God is good. He loves you. And surprisingly enough, he loves me too. So let's worship him together, because he is well deserving.